This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. My name is Adam Ritz. Thank you for joining me for this public affairs radio show. And we'll start today with a story out of Albany, Georgia, the Life Preparatory School for Boys. It's a 501c3 charitable organization with a mission to teach boys the true meaning of manhood and to be protectors and providers for their communities. The organization was founded by a gentleman named King Randall. He's a 24-year-old native of Albany, Georgia. He saw a need to help enhance and advance the lives of the young men in his community, and he set out to take action to combat the high poverty and crime rates in the Southwest Georgia city. So this is a school for young men where they teach more than just the basics. They teach values, skill sets, life skills. I saw some video of him teaching these young men how to shake hands with eye contact, introduce themselves, shoulders back, back straight. He also taught them how to change a tire. I mean, how many times have you heard that high schools in America should just teach a class called life skills to teach people how to do their taxes, change a tire, write a check? A lot of these skills have been lost somehow over the last couple of decades. And Randall has really taken upon himself to do something about it. The values of the school are listed on their website. There's six main values. We'll go over them here. Honor, which is high respect, great esteem. Discipline, training oneself to do something in a controlled and habitual way. Commitment, the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity. Courage, the strength in the face of pain or grief. Accountability, that's an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility or to account for one's actions. And consistency, to act or do in the same way over time, especially so as to be fair or accurate. Now, the website for the Life Preparatory School for Boys is a simple one. TheXForBoys.org. TheXForBoys.org. And I believe X is the nickname of Randall King. So TheXForBoys.org. And on the website, there are ways to support his organization through donation or partnering. You can even partner with this organization if you're listening in the Georgia area, or if you'd like to learn more about it and maybe reach out to King Randall and see if you can start a chapter in your neighborhood. TheXForBoys.org. All right, for the remainder of the show, we're going to feature some conversations we had in the past. Jay Baker, my co-host, has always brought great public affairs content to the broadcast, and we now go to Jay Baker.
And speaking of a better place, we talked about we're heading into a time of the year, sort of our favorite. And yes, you raise a great point, Adam. If you live in the South, the deep South, you may say to yourself, man, it's been hot since March, so I don't know what you guys are talking about. But I think we live in a part of the world you'd call the Great Midwest, and we have certainly enjoyed the fact that we've had a relatively mild winter that we all managed to get through, and now we're heading into what's been an extraordinary spring. And just, you know, summertime is a time just to enjoy life anyway. But as we head into June, a couple of key dates in June, one of them being Father's Day, June 18th. So kind of an important date. I know we've talked about your dad before on the airwaves, and it's a good time to, to honor that guy that sometimes is the unsung hero in your family.
You know, I'm biased because I am a father, but it might be the most important day of the year.
See, I like that. Well, you asked me one time, what do you do during Father's Day? And I just sit back in my recliner and just let the gifts pour over me as I'm adored by my two children. They just go crazy with the gifts and the outpouring, and it's just the best time of the year.
I tried to instill in my children that it was the most important day of the year, and that the gift giving should be bigger and better than Christmas and birthdays combined. But it just, you know what? I didn't do a good job conveying that message. It is a nice day in our family. I do hear from the women in my family that they feel that we get a better deal having Father's Day in mid-June rather than a Mother's Day in early May. Because early May in the north during early spring, you've got a lot. There's a higher chance of rain and a higher chance that it's not going to be 80 degrees and maybe a 100% chance that your pool is not open or ready.
Ah.
So there's just not the poolside American grill out, cookout nature of a Father's Day that happens on a Mother's Day. So while you do have the traditional Mother's Day lunch, it's probably raining and cold on the way to it. And Father's Day is usually just gorgeous, 80 degrees and sunny. So we apologize to the mothers out there that we're getting a better day probably. But I'm looking forward to it.
It's part of the PR movement for Father's Day. So we're kidding around a little bit, but yes, if you have an important father in your life, please let him know how much you appreciate him. And for all new fathers and everything, it's kind of part of the tradition. So enjoy it. Adam,
you know,
was talking.
I hate to interrupt. We will highlight. Do you hear that? I'm getting a phone call.
Oh,
I have a simple...
See, it's your kids calling you to wish you happy Father's Day.
They're asking me what I want for Father's Day. I just sent it to voicemail. Okay, so
I think this year on the list I put cryptocurrency, because I just like to give them several items to select from. T-shirt, good, not bad. Cryptocurrency, that could be even better. So, I'm expanding the pool of gifts.
Here's what I want for Father's Day. I want someone to show me how to set my iPhone up so that I don't get beeps when I'm recording a radio show. What I was going to say was that in a few weeks on actual Father's Day weekend, I'm sure we'll have a couple stories of some inspirational fathers that are among us.
Yes, absolutely. This is, as Adam pointed out, there's an unofficial yet also official start of summer. I've always said the official start of summer is good and bad. Good in that it kicks off most people's favorite season, but just a little bit bad because that is the day where you have the highest incident of sun, meaning the sun will be up in the sky for the very highest that day. And Adam has pointed out that when you have daylight savings time in your area, it can be light well after 9 o'clock and you can get out and enjoy those outdoor activities. But the days start getting, or at least the incident of sunlight keeps getting a little shorter after this official day, and it falls on June 21st.
So right around this time of year, we're getting the most sun. That's when you need to be most aware with the SPF and your sunscreen.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind as you even if you're not going to the beach or the pool or spending hours outside, if you have just any sort of activity where you're outside and you have skin exposed, that should be, it should be covered with some sort of protection.
Yeah, and as you said, while it would be more difficult, not impossible, you could actually get sunburned after 7 o'clock at night, you know. So, yes, be aware that with this amount of sun that you really do have to do the protection thing. And we've always encouraged people on this show, hey, don't be afraid of the nerd factor, the big sun hat. That's a fashion statement. Don't let anybody shame you when you're protecting your head and your neck.
It's really not. You can have some fun with it, too, if you like to dress up. I bought a hat a few trips ago. I bought a hat that I would have never worn this hat at a younger age. It's kind of it's the kind of hat you'd see someone wear in the mid-1960s. With a Hawaiian shirt and some khaki suit pants, smoking a cigar in South Miami.
Yeah,
it's not a fedora, but it is, I guess, a fedora like made out of straw, but with a big bill all the way around. And I bought it to cover my face and forehead and the back of my neck. And I wear that sucker all the time. I don't care how stupid I look. I wear it. It's a fashion statement now, and it's protecting my skin. So doggone it. I highly encourage doing the same thing. Get yourself a
That's right.
hat, Jay, and wear it with pride.
This is the Big Stupid Hat Show, and we're telling you that it looks good on you. And your neck will appreciate it, yes, and your dermatologist will thank you as well. And kind of an interesting note this week, the final show of what became kind of a phenomena, despite the fact there were only three official seasons, but this is the end of the Ted Lasso show.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I didn't know if you were a fan or not, but
I'm a pre-fan, meaning everyone in my life has told me to watch it. I did finally just get Apple TV, and it's on my list. I will binge that sucker soon. We are looking forward to watching it, and everybody I know watched the series finale and loved it.
Yes,
I thought you were going to say
so. No spoilers.
The fourth and final season of the series finale of Succession was just out too, and
yes,
I love that show.
That show is highly rated as well.
So into that show and the series finale. For those of you that are like my daughters are each watching, one is in season two and the other one's in season three. So I absolutely appreciate that people listening haven't even started season one yet or don't want any spoilers about anything with the series finale. Trust me, you're in good hands. I will not say a word. I am just sad to know that Succession is over because that was such a good show.
I know, such a good show. A show that took a while to get back into production, mostly because the people that were in it were very busy. But a show that Adam turned me on to is coming back to HBO, now Max. It's called Max, not HBO. It's like, why change that name? You know, because HBO was never a successful streaming service, was it?
It's truly, let's get off on this side tangent here about marketing and branding. It's truly mind-boggling that HBO named their streaming service HBO Max. To me, that's mind-boggling that they did that even in the first place, because HBO bought and or owned the movie channel called Cinemax. And Cinemax themselves, maybe because of the viewers, just started calling it Max for short.
Right.
And all their promos between the movies would say M-A-X, you know, Max, Max, coming up on Max or next on Max. And so now, just to use that one syllable sound in the streaming service was confusing to me, HBO Max. It made it sound like, okay, this is a combination of HBO and Cinemax. Now, of the two choices, they ditch HBO and just go with Max.
I'm with you.
Like, okay, this all I think of when I go to this streaming service now is that this is the Cinemax streaming service. Why wouldn't they just stick with HBO? You're absolutely right. I don't get it.
And is HBO not arguably one of the most famous names in all of television production. In fact, they were the first ones to create the outside of primetime network series shows like The Sopranos and other great shows.
And not only the first original programming for that type of movie channel, they were the first movie channel. I mean, I remember in 1977, I think, going to a friend's house, and they had HBO. And I remember I was blown away that they were watching Superman with Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on their television in their living room. And I was blown away. And I remember years later, probably 84, when I was 14 and we finally got cable and I had HBO, I was like, this is HBO. I remember that. So HBO has such a history, and they changed it from HBO Max to Max. Unbelievable. Okay.
Yeah, the second you had HBO, you were like the king of your neighborhood, weren't you?
Yes.
That was great. But at any rate, they are bringing back a show called The Righteous. What is it? The Righteous Gemstones?
That's it. The Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah, Righteous Gemstones with John Goodman. And one of an actor that I would have never have enjoyed his work if you hadn't shown me what a tremendous man he is. Is it Danny Powers?
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride.
He played Kenny Powers the first time I
heard of him. Kenny Powers. Yes.
Another HBO streaming show is Eastbound and Down with Danny McBride. He's a great character actor. You've seen him in a thousand things. He's one of the stars of Righteous Gemstones. And I know we have a lot of listeners that listen while they're getting ready for church or on their way to church. And this show does not count as going to church. It is a show about televangelism. So this for our friends that wonder if, you know, when you're going to church, does this count? Like if you go to a wedding, if you go to a Catholic wedding and there's a service,
right,
does that count as your going to church obligation or not? Well, if you ask my mom, that doesn't count. If you ask me, it counts. I can tell you, though, if you watch Righteous Gemstones, that does not count as going to church.
I'm with you. During the Catholic service, there is some kneeling involved, and I feel like you should get some bonus points.
You know, if the wedding takes almost an hour, that should count as church.
Absolutely, it should. A brand new study is out and said that memory loss with aging could be curbed with regular use of multivitamins. Cognitive aging is a top health concern for older adults. And they were saying the reason why this is exciting news is multivitamins are both accessible and affordable. But with everything in this world, you should check with your physician. But that is interesting that something that seems relatively low tech might be very helpful in just cognitive memory loss.
That's good to know. You know, I'm 53 at the moment, and there are times where I forget why I walked in a room.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So that's good to know. Yeah, affordable and easily accessible. If there's anything that could help, check it out with your doctor and see what it does for you.
We're always excited when NFL players, other sports other sports athletes lend themselves to charities. But as we are doing this program, a number of Bengals players are participating in a charity called Chip In for Charity golf event that helps the Lighthouse Youth and Family Services of Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati. And you know, once again, we've always talked about golf outings, a lot of fun, and even more fun when you can get some of these sports guys involved. Ironically, a number of NFL players are absolutely dreadful golfers. So I appreciate the fact that they're going to go out on the links, whack the ball around, probably mostly into the woods, but it's all going to be for charity.
I've done a lot of golf tournaments with a lot of NFL players, and you're right. It's encouraging to me to know that there's no way I could play in the NFL But it's the encouragement comes from knowing there's no way they're going to beat me on this golf course today. They're so terrible at it. However, I will say there's a few of them, though. You know, they're 6 foot four and have the torque. I mean, they can drive off the tee. If they can keep it straight, it's going almost 400 yards.
Yes. And you do want to, if you can, the setup for this is your foursome. You enter into the golf tournament. That's where part of the money generating occurs. And you are paired with a local celebrity or an NFL player. If you get an NFL player, ironically, guys like punters have more spare time on their hands, and they have good muscle memory. They're not bad golfers. Anybody in the pro skills area, like wide receivers, quarterbacks, those guys are much better golfers. If you're like me, you'll probably get a defensive tackle who can't even get his arms to touch the ground because they're so big.
They're so huge. They're so strong. And it's funny to watch a guy 6 foot six, 310 pounds, to make a death qualifying contact with the ball. I mean, if it was any part of a human on the tee, they would be dead from the speed of that club head coming around, the force of it hitting the ball, and then watching the ball go 20 yards and then with a top spin just go straight down into the ground and roll 5 feet, and they end up driving the ball about 25 yards.
Oh, yes.
You know, while you're talking about golf outings in this time of year and how nice it is, this is something that we touch on this program constantly about how to combine your entertainment with your charitable giving. Whether you go to a charity auction, you can have a nice evening out with your loved one, with your spouse, go to a charity dinner, bid on some items. All of a sudden, you've got some great piece to put in your basement, and a charity made some money on it, too. The same with golf outings. This time of year, if you like to golf, even if you're not a great golfer, but you enjoy it, a golf outing is a great way to combine your love of a summer activity with a social situation, being able to go out and hang out with some great people, and raise money for a great cause. Your registration fee for your foursome goes to run the golf outing and to the charity that is involved with it. So I highly encourage at some point this summer, look for a golf outing near you and get some buddies and sign up for it and raise some money for a good cause and have a great time with your friends.
Well, and here's the pro tip. Adam's totally correct about that. And we haven't been to a golf outing yet that didn't involve pretty good food. Usually somebody that does great barbecue or great casual food ends up being the caterer for the event. And I have yet to see one where I've left hungry.
Yeah, there's always a banquet. You know, they usually have some prizes for longest drive, longest putt, best score, best net score. Even the worst team will get a prize. And then even a raffle. Like, you could buy 10 raffle tickets. All that money goes to charity. And then they pull out a raffle ticket. You might walk home with a gift basket from a local merchant that's full of some great items that you can use yourself or give away. Golf outings are fantastic.
Yeah, we can't say enough about them. Here's an airline that is going to be asking passengers to step on the scale before boarding the aircraft. This is happening with Air New Zealand. So for most of our listeners, they won't encounter this unless they happen to be in the opposite hemisphere. But it's apparently part of New Zealand's Civil Aviation Authority, which is asking customers to be weighed on flights. Through this summer, officials are justifying the reason by saying, we weigh everything that goes into the aircraft anyway, from cargo to meals on board to the amount of fuel. So why not weigh the passengers?
Okay.
Now, I think a lot of people might feel a little self-conscious, you know, but apparently they are assuring citizens that the airline says that no one can see the number on the scale, not even the airline employees, and that each passenger's weight will be completely anonymous.
Are they applying a cost? Will people that weigh more have to pay more?
Well, it's not saying anything about that. I think one of the things, I will tell you this from knowing a thing or two about aviation, you probably know this, is that when most American air carriers put passengers up in the sky, they assign an approximate weight to every passenger on board. And most do not charge more for larger passengers, but they do take that into effect. In fact, some of the air carriers that take NFL teams, let's say, to places have to account for the greater weight of those athletes. So there's already sort of an approximate weight assigned to you anyway, whether you knew that or not. And believe it or not, your approximate weight goes up 20 pounds in the wintertime because of all the extra stuff that you carry with you in the wintertime, like your coat and et cetera.
The coat, yes, snow boots. I thought you were going to say my winter weight goes up approximately 20 pounds because of Thanksgiving.
Because
in football season.
Anything post-Lent for you is not going to be good. Yeah.
You know, I can see that's a valid point, that if you're weighing every suitcase and it can't be over 50 pounds, then you should probably know how much each person weighs so that you can do a total. And
right.
Then I suppose that at some point there will be a time where, you know, the smaller people, just by bad luck, if every small person in New Zealand didn't get on that plane, and everybody that got on a commercial flight, 200 passengers, all of them are at the smallest one is 6'4", 230, then there might have to be some questions. Like, okay,
sure,
we are overweight by 7,000 pounds or whatever the number is. What's the protocol? Are they going to start asking for people to bump, and like they'll give you a free flight to anywhere in the continental area if you wait or take a later flight? Because definitely, if I'm on the plane, I don't care if I'm the biggest one. If weight is an issue and this plane is not going to be safe 30,000 feet in the air, then bump me off the plane. I'll take the next one.
Yeah, I think that's a mature way to look at it. You know, we're going through a time period, and I say this with pride. You know, right now we've had an extraordinary safety record in the air travel world over the past 10 years. And part of that is the fact that the airline industry is being very careful in its maintenance procedures and in its actual air procedures. And one of them is to not fly airplanes over their recommended weight.
Well, Jay, as we wrap up the show, we've got about a minute here. I want to say an anonymous thank you to a gentleman. The last flight I took, now keep in mind, for visuals here, I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'3", 225. And the guy that sat next to me on this plane was 6'5", 300. Big dude. And he and I shared the armrest between us like we were in concert.
Yeah.
It was almost like we choreographed it. Like when I would go high, he would go low, then I would go narrow, and he would take the whole thing, then he would go narrow, and I'd take the whole thing. It was an unspoken language. I didn't get his name. We didn't even speak to each other. He had headphones on the whole time. I was asleep the whole time. But I think that's the kind of teamwork we need on airplanes to keep stress levels down.
I totally
just
agree.
Take it easy on the armrest. And I've seen two little people fight over an armrest before,
sure,
let alone two big guys. So there's my, I guess that's the, if you take one thing away from this public service announcement, public affairs radio show, be kind when you share the armrest between you and the next person on an airplane. All right, Jay, thank you so much for your insights. We'll talk again next week. We'll prepare for the big Father's Day show is right around the corner. So let's each have a father to highlight, some charitable effort or a father, inspirational father to highlight on that episode. Thank you for joining us. You can hear this in a replay or any of our past episodes in podcast form on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.